This podcast contains some strong language, as well as depictions of threat, violence, and horror. Listener discretion is advised. Please check our show notes or episode description for full and specific content warnings and other helpful info. Take care of yourself, and don't hesitate to ask for help if you need it.
So, we find ourselves in a small Celtic village. There's a handful of roundhouses. There's this large palisade wooden fence that runs all the way around it. It's getting close to sort of... It's in the twilight stage of the day. So, like, the sun's just setting, the moon's just rising. There's a few little dots in the sky. Sort of start of autumn. Like, the heat's still a bit there. It's a little muggy. In the sort of distance, entering the village, we see a man. Kind of small, about like 5'7", 5'8". He's carrying a flashlight that he flicks on every now and again to kind of shine around the place. And then he sort of walks into the center of the village and he shines the light a bit. And then he sort of grabs a walkie-talkie from his belt, just speaks into it. Eric, is the alarm still tripped? And there's sort of a crackle on there.
Yeah, Colin. It's still sounding off. Do you see anything down there?
Nah, I'll start rummaging through the houses. And Colin sort of walks towards one of the larger round houses, pokes his head in, kinda shines the torch in. So the shadows kinda cast off from everything. Doesn't see anything, sort of turns to move. Camera kinda hangs there for a second. And we see the briefest, like, flash of a shadow move. Just a smidge. He moves to the next house. He kind of looks through that. Again, shines the torch in. Shrugs. Goes back to his radio. Yeah. Still going? I'm two houses down. Don't see anything.
Yeah, Colin, it's gone. You can come back. Must have just been a bird or something.
Yeah, I'll start coming. He puts the walkie-talkie back down, starts walking towards the exit. He walks a few paces, and then from behind him, there's just a... And then a... He pauses. He sort of turns, and we see sort of his face. And what starts is a sort of like, oh, you can't just... He's cut off. He just stops talking. And he collapses. And what we see is just a large gash has been opened in his chest. And the radio kind of clicks on again, and we hear...
Colin, the alarm just went again. Colin? Colin?
Camera pans up and we see the sort of title fade in and sort of Goosebumps style text. The Capewick Cassettes. The Centurion. Okay, so, we cut to the entrance to Capewick Castle Historical Village. Again, same time frame. We see, Ashley.
Hello.
Elle, what does Ashley look like?
Ashley is an average height male. He's quite young. He has what I'd describe as quite sort of floppy yet styled hair in what I'd call an emo fashion. He has quite pale skin and he's wearing a black t-shirt and black skinny jeans and he's holding a pair of sunglasses in his hand, but he's taken them off now.
Okay. So you've done this walk countless times. You've been up to the Capewick Museum a lot in your past. And so you're stood sort of at the and you've stood at like the main entrance that sort of leads out onto a dirt path.
Mm-hmm.
In front of you, you see the large castle museum. Sort of to the right, there's the Roman fort, and to the left, there's the Celtic village.
Yes.
You're here to meet your mum. She's getting off of work quite late today.
Yeah.
And for now, she still hasn't given you a key to the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
She hasn't quite given you a specific place to meet. She potters about the place.
Okay.
And as you sort of start walking in, it's still open as per se. There's about 20 minutes till closing for the site.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite empty though. No one is really here at like 5:30 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And you get moving. And as you sort of start walking towards the Castle Museum and sort of taking in the sights, you smell something.
Oh.
You smell blood.
Oh.
No.
Like, a lot of it.
All right. I put my hand in my pocket. The one that isn't wearing the sunglasses.
Okay.
Sorry, isn't holding the sunglasses.
Yeah.
And, I look around. Is there anybody around?
There's someone staffing the entrance.
Yeah.
There's just someone who's sort of selling out tickets
that
sort of waved you through because he recognizes you.
They don't look like dead or bloody. So
No. They look very bored. They're there half reading a magazine and then half keeping an eye out.
Yeah, they're not stressed. So, you know, I'm not too stressed. I rearrange my collar a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I follow my nose. I'm gonna keep looking out. I'm looking out for Mum. I'm keeping an eye towards the castle and museum, but yeah, I'm gonna head towards that smell.
Okay. As you start going, your feet kind of take you towards the sort of left towards the Celtic village. You see the roundhouses, kind of the thatched roofs popping just above the wooden palisade. And you sort of have to walk a little bit around it to find the entrance again. The lights are off in there currently, so it's sort of, it's pitch black.
Okay.
The shade has kind of eclipsed most of it.
Okay. Can I see anyone around or hear anyone? Anything? Any vermin?
Yeah, you take a second to kind of take in the whole area. You take that second to kind of think through this all, like sort of just exist in the moment.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything. You most definitely smell blood coming from sort of a good, like, sort of the, from what you can suss out, kind of the center of the village.
Okay, I head there.
Okay. So you start walking, kind of squinting in the night.
Yeah.
The sun's kind of almost finished going down. Sort of under that, your sort of gravel under the feet, just kind of crunching. There's again just sort of this kind of eerie, like the silence kind of grows eerier.
Yeah.
In almost the full lack of sound, as kind of even the vague sound of the sea sort of stops.
Mm.
And as you get closer and closer to the center of this tiny, of this small fake village, that blood, that smell of blood just gets thicker and thicker, until you come across a corpse.
Oh.
You see this man, he has been gutted by some kind of thing. There is just blood everywhere. It's a mess.
Ooh.
I think I actually need you to make a roll for me.
I feel like at this point that would be appropriate.
Could you roll Act Under Pressure for me?
So that is Nice. 12. Sick.
Okay. For a moment, you grow a little dizzy. And you kind of wobble for a second as you just focus in on that smell of blood rushing into you and just the sight of the scene as a whole. And you kind of squash that down a bit and you kind of look up and take a breather for a second and you look down again and the smell is almost lessened.
Yeah.
As if you've kind of sort of like swallowed it down and just repressed whatever part of you had erupted that sort of obsession about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're in front of a body corpse.
A body corpse? No! Okay. All right. I want to check out the body. What looks like it attacked him? Or does it look like a weapon or something else?
Okay. I think it's time to make another roll and investigate a mystery.
Investigate a mystery plus sharp. I have one in sharp, so...
Yeah, if you go into your sheets, you can see Hunter's move reference. You can actually just click that and I'll do it for you.
Yeah, you can click the little dice.
I forgot that I made a character sheet on this. I've just been using the one over here. Ah.
Of course. I thought it was weird. You said, oh, I'll get my character sheet up. It's got hyperlink. It's got links and everything to all the dice.
Pretty fancy.
Great, okay.
Okay, and then... If you click on the little arrow, it actually will give you the...
Questions?
The questions you can ask from it. So you got a 9, so you have a hold of 1.
Okay.
So you can ask... So that hold is spent on a 1-for-1 thing to ask ask those questions on the sheet.
Okay. I want to ask, what sort of creature is it?
It doesn't look like an animal did this. It's this long, solid, clean cut along the abdomen. Like a full, like, almost like some kind of knife or blade just sliced this person almost in half.
Okay, cool. So by that, I hear not an animal or not a... Yeah. Not a beast.
Not an animal.
Okay.
Yeah. As you start to sort of look around the scene, we kind of... see the camera shift a little bit. And it moves to the entrance of the larger sort of castle museum hybrid. And coming down the steps of that, we see Roof. Emma, do you want to tell us what Roof looks like?
Yep. Roof is a slightly plump woman in her early 50s. She is currently wearing her work clothes, so she's wearing a rustic red late medieval dress with a white linen shift underneath and a waist-tied white apron.
Nice.
She currently has her hair up in Elizabethan hair taping using a matching red ribbon.
Okay, so you've worked your regular day shift here. You've been... What is it the Roof does?
She's a tailor, so she makes all of the reenactment sort of clothing.
Okay. Yeah, so you've kind of packed up for the day on that. It was a fairly easy day of just patching up bits of the bits of tears and wear and tear that were on the clothes. You step down off the steps up to the main entrance to the castle museum. And you take a quick gander as you're expecting to meet your son Ashley here before heading home for the night. You don't see him.
I sort of put my hands on my hips and sigh a little and then just start wandering out, just calling, Ashley, love, you here?
Okay. Yeah, so you don't see anyone else about. And as you start sort of walking down the main pathway down towards the car park entrance, you start to kind of notice that sort of eerie silence. Like, there's just not a lot of... Sounds almost kind of muted at the moment. You're not sure if it's just, like, a sort of trick of the light. There's just something... that's making you feel sort of uncomfortable, like you have a sinking feeling in your chest.
Ashley, love.
Okay. Do you just keep heading down towards the car park?
Yeah, I'll just sort of head towards the entrance sort of area, see if I can find my son.
Okay. So as you start, you continue going down there. That sort of feeling of that sort of uncomfortable feeling doesn't really leave you at all. And as you start sort of frantically moving down towards the entrance, you're still not seeing him. Who you do see is Bert, who you know runs the sort of ticket booth.
Ah, Bert, I don't suppose you've seen my Ashley, have you?
Yeah, Roof, he kind of leans a little out of the ticket booth and looks down past you. He was just here. I thought he would have come straight up to see you.
I must have missed him. Don't suppose you know which way he headed?
He thinks for a second and takes a moment. Left. I think I heard something move over that way.
All right, cheers. If you see him, can you ask him to wait here?
Oh, yeah, of course, Roof, of course.
Cheers, love.
No problem.
I'll head that way.
Okay, yep. So you see the little thatched roofs of the Celtic village kind of poking over the top of the wooden palisade. You have to walk a little to get around to the entrance to it. And as you look in, you see that as the sort of sun's properly setting now, moon's starting to rise, it's quite dark in there.
Ashley, love?
Ashley.
Yeah.
You hear your mother very faintly from the entrance.
I get the fuck up from where I've been sniffing the corpse. I look around. Fight or flight.
From your mother?
I make the better decision. I run a little bit towards where I hear her voice. Like, kind of like jogging and like wiping my hands on my trousers.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Mum?
Oh, there you are, Ashley, love. I was getting worried.
Yeah. I look behind me and look to her and I go, yeah, we should.
You're right, love.
We should go. I'm expecting a phone call at home.
All right.
Roof, as your eyes kind of adjust and you sort of look past Ashley, you can just kind of see a form sort of on the ground in the middle of the village.
Huh. Oh. What's that then? And I'll sort of move past towards it to take a look.
Don't look there.
What?
Don't.
Why wouldn't I look there, love?
It's not a good sight.
What are you talking about, love?
Alright, I step away and I kind of gesture and I say, there's been an accident.
An accident?
Look.
And I'll sort of hurriedly sort of go over. Is someone alright?
Oh, what? No.
Roof, as you kind of brush past Ashley and start walking your way into the center of the village, your eyes kind of adjust a little bit more, and you see on the floor one of the security guards, Colin. And he has been gutted by
it's
something.
It's not good.
There is blood on the floor. There is actual bits of organs slowly sort of pfft-ing out.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not... Look, I tried to warn you.
And with that... And with that, we cut to outside the Cape Wick Historical Village. Owen Crisp. Megan,
yes.
Could you introduce Owen Crisp?
Well, he's actually dressed quite nicely underneath the absolutely hideous, heinous anorak that he's wearing of about 8 different colours bought from one of those terrible sports shop. He's like fumbling and fondling a CD player of which is one of those like furry headsets that he's got that he's entirely tangled up in. And he's walking up towards the castle. He's like a roughly like 5'6", like short, kind of compact looking guy. He's wearing like a nice pair of trousers, but his glasses are like covered in sellotape and his hair is like quickly receding back, but he's got like, he knows that the last of his hair is on his head and he'll never cut it again. So he's got like a shaggy ponytail and the hair in his head sticks up everywhere because it grows in very uneven lengths and very badly needs a cut. He looks knackered. He looks like the kind of person who's like very, very windblown. But the how pale he is gives away the fact that he doesn't really go outside perhaps as much as one should do. More than anything, he looks completely like an exaggerated pissed off expression is on the guy's face. This is not someone that you would like walk up to and talk with. Whether it's the bad 90s fashion or it's the horrified expression, it's one of the two.
Okay. So you sort of storm through the entrance, sort of throw your money off to the ticket guy. And are you just going to start sort of it trying to enjoy your evening and sort of go and look at the Roman Fort or like the Celtic village or the castle?
Yeah, I'm basically going to go anti-clockwise around the museum area and I'm going to do two laps. That's the intention, was to come up here and do two laps and then go home. And then I could call that a trip to the castle and then I wouldn't have been stood up on the date that I was invited for.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you start heading towards the Celtic village?
Yeah, I'm not really thinking about the Celtic village. I'm more thinking about the fact that I was forced to come here and then the reason I came here didn't even show up. But all right, Celtic village looks great.
Okay, yep. So you see the thatched roofs popping over the top of the palisade. You have to walk a little bit around to actually get into the entrance. As you kind of get into there, the gloom's set in, it's dark. You see a few formless shadows in the center of the village looking at something on the floor.
I see. My first check is, are any of them older people?
You can't tell from this. They're in shadow. As your eyes start to adjust, you can see that one of them is kind of short. One of them does look taller than a teenager.
Okay, right. I'm going to take the situation by the handle. I'm guessing that this kind of like dread atmosphere hasn't really affected me.
No, not particularly.
Yeah, this kind of like atmosphere of snowing all the time is not really something that is perturbing me. So I just walk straight up to the situation and I go, is there something the matter?
Oh,
Jesus, Mary.
Oh,
Jesus.
Look, don't come back here. We need to not meddle with the evidence.
I'm already back here.
Hey, who aren't you our neighbor?
Owen, love.
Ruth, it's good to see you.
It's lovely to see you too, Owen, love. There's been a bit of a, I'm not quite sure what, we need to, it's Colin, he's
looking
dead.
Very pale.
There's been an accident.
Yes.
We need to go to a phone.
Yeah, Owen. Owen, you look down and you see a security guard for the historical village just gutted on the floor.
Okay. Owen literally says O and K as in the letters of the alphabet rather than the word out loud as he's looking at it, and then he looks at Ruth and he looks at Ashley, and you can see on his face that he's considering, have I just walked into these two having finished committing a murder? Like you can see that he's thinking that. He is not hiding it at all.
Oh,
really now, Owen, love?
All right, stay very calm.
Stay very calm. We just need to get to a phone.
I don't have any questions for you. I'm not accusing you of anything.
I should hope not, love.
I just want you both to stay very calm. I'm going to take my phone out now, and I'm going to call the police.
Yes, please do, love.
But it's the 90s. Do we have phones?
I think Nokias existed in the 90s.
Yeah, I could have a Nokia.
Shit.
Yeah, one of them bricks.
I was assuming we didn't have phones.
It's 97.
I feel like not everyone does, but Owen Crisp is a man of wealth.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
Of affluence.
Of affluence.
A tennis.
Affluence enough to own a brick phone.
I do not have a mobile.
I also do not own a mobile.
But not enough affluence to leave the house.
No.
Yeah, so I have put like 9-9 and then I look back over at the body and then I look at these two and I see that neither of them have either a katana or like a industrial meat slicer. And I lower my phone and say, neither of you two killed this man. Can you please tell me the truth on that?
No.
Of course not, Owen. Who do you think we are, love? How long have you known me?
I just like quirk my eyebrow at the question and look back at the body on the ground and say, have you told anybody else about this?
No.
No, we only just found it.
I look around, I'm like, him. Really obviously. Like, is there anybody else here to tell? Come on, we gotta get away from the body. You need to not tamper with it.
Okay. Ashley, if I gave you my phone, can you call the police? I really don't want you to look at this for any longer than you have to, being a young man. And I like shove the phone into your hand. I like very gently like tap you on the shoulder and like gesture you for you to like turn away from the body. And I go over to Ruth and like body block between you and the body so that you like as much as possible can't see it anymore.
Doesn't really help.
Yeah, I just sort of have my hand like over my mouth, just sort of in shock, basically. A few, like the starting of like tears just sort of welling slightly in her eyes.
Oh no.
I do walk away. I would like to get away from the smelly body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I dial 999.
Bad. Okay. As you dial 999, we cut. And we sort of see the clock go like 20 minutes later. And Sebastian.
Hello.
Yes, Jens. Sebastian, you are currently at home in Owen Crisp's attic.
Mm-hmm.
What does Sebastian look like?
Ooh. What season is it? How cold is the weather currently?
It's getting on to autumn, so it's a bit like during the day, nice and like kinda still sort of crisp, like 15 to 18 degrees. That's Celsius.
Ah, in that case, he's got his little black fitted turtleneck sweater, you know, the off-white chinos, brown travel boots, the, you know, the creative professional look, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got his little short, rounded, wavy hair, dark brown. I've heard it called Ghibli hot boy hair. I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
As he, like, pushes up his black glasses and, like, flips open his notebook.
Yeah, so what's a regular evening look like for Sebastian?
Ooh, I think you have the camera sort of like panning out, like it rotates along into the view, and you see him like as if he's like polishing something, but his body is currently blocking it like you're from behind, and then as like you sort of see over his shoulder, but at first it's like, oh, is he polishing a sword? Is he polishing like some sort of big chainsaw, industrial cleaver? Turns out to be a lightsaber. Piece of memorabilia much.
Yeah.
Just wiping it delicately with a cloth.
Yeah, so as you're partway through doing that, the landline that you got installed up here rings.
Okay, which is the button? It's this one. Okay, hello?
Oh, Sebastian, that's you, right? This is the number.
Oh, yes.
It's Tabitha from work.
Ah, yes, Miss Payne. Good to see you. Yes, this is Sebastian Long, ready for work. What's going on?
Okay. So I'm currently out of town. I'm not going to get there until much later. But something has happened up at the castle, and I need you to quickly go there and suss it. I know you're really just a photographer for us, but if you get there, start taking a few notes. See if you could just get in before the police cordon finishes.
Oh dear, somebody that's been. I'll be right away, Miss Payne. Absolutely. And just very carefully clinks the phone down. And just hurriedly like is pulling things into like his little messenger bag, like pulling on his big chunky Nikon F5 camera. It's like real heavy. I think it's a big boy, that one. And he's like looks at the time, looks at like this little bus schedule he's got taped up onto the wall, and he's like, oh no, he's not gonna make it. Looks around real quietly, makes sure to draw the curtains, and steps into space and vanishes with a small pulse of light.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts do you reappear on the castle grounds?
I think.
Or do you choose to appear sort of in the car park?
I think, yeah, there's probably like a secluded pillar corner somewhere in the car park where it's like, you know, he won't be seen. And there's probably like a flickering light that he knows is there that always flickers mm-hmm. as he appears. And there's like another golden flash of light
yeah.
as he like appears, but he's like, voom, in.
Yeah, so I think us, the audience, kind of have like a camera now, like looking out over this sort of car park. We can see sirens sort of like in the distance moving forward. And then there's this kind of flickering light, like lamp that sort of comes on and off. And then at one point it's on and we don't see anyone. Then it quickly flickers off. And then in the light burst of it coming back on, you appear.
And I am running because I don't know what is going on. It's just somewhere in this place. It's a big place.
Okay. Do you just go up through the entrance?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you sort of step onto like the threshold of the entrance and you get the most horrible feeling. Like there is something very wrong here. You can't quite quantify it. It's akin to sort of that sinking feeling. You know that there is something magical here.
Oh dear. Just saying to himself.
There is no one in the entrance booth.
I quickly look around behind me and I don't see police tape outside the entrance yet.
No, you can see sirens that are slowly getting closer and closer.
Not much time. Okay, gotta hurry. And he runs in.
Okay.
I'm just going to follow that feeling of dread towards wherever that is.
Yeah, so you sort of look forward. You see the big castle museum. You sort of look to the right. There's the large Roman fort replica. And you look to the left and you see the Celtic village. Big thatched roofs, palisade all around. You can almost see it. You can almost see this, like, sort of sickly... It's not something you can quite describe as sight, but there is most definitely, like, that something. And as you sort of rush around, you have to go around a little bit to actually get into the village itself, and you look down into it, and you can see... There are three forms, Roof, Owen, and Ashley. About 20 minutes have now passed. Ashley, you've called the police. They've effectively told you to stay exactly where you are.
Mm-hmm.
How have you passed 20 minutes?
I actually have something that might have been very contentious. Owen is not going to speak to the police because he doesn't believe in speaking to the police.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, so what?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know. So I then, as soon as Ashley goes away to call 999, Owen turns around to Ruth and says, okay, you have to handle this because I'm not going to be speaking to the police, unfortunately.
What are you talking about, love?
I don't speak to the police.
Well, what's that meant to mean?
I won't be speaking to the police is what that's meant to mean. I am under no obligation to incriminate myself when found at the scene of a crime.
Jesus, Owen.
It's not
incriminating,
sorry.
It's the decent thing to do.
I will help in any way I can, but I'm not going to speak to the police. That's why we have Ashley speak to them, because he's young.
So you're trying to incriminate my son?
No, I'm trying to make you not speak to the police. If Ashley's still a minor, right? He's like, what, 17?
He's a full-grown man. What are you talking about, love? I know he's my baby boy, but...
Right, well, he'll report it to the police. We won't speak to them. But they'll have that to sort out. This is the thing. I'm sure there's some kind of other evidence they'll be able to get. But as soon as we speak to them, we're incriminated in this. We're going to be found at the scene of a murder.
We haven't done anything, love. We're innocent.
Exactly. But we are about to be found at the scene of a murder.
Because we found the body, not because we murdered anyone, love.
I know, but if you're the police, what are you going to think? If you can't catch the person who actually did it, who's next?
Well, I'm certainly not standing by and letting my Ashley deal with all of this.
No, no, obviously we're not going to let Ashley deal with all of this. Ashley's not going to speak to the police either. But him being I didn't realise he was already in. I can't believe he's grown up so quickly. I feel like it was only...
Oh, I know. He grows up so fast, doesn't he? I haven't seen him in so long. It's so nice to have him back again. But
it's crazy. It was only yesterday that he was in his high school uniform, right?
Oh, I know. Bless him.
Anyway, he's not going to speak to the police either.
Well, so what, you're just saying that we just all leave? I can't be doing that, love.
Well, we've called it in now. As soon as Ashley comes back, we'll wait until we see signs of the police and then we should go.
That's Colin, love. I've known him years.
I know. We have all known him. We've all known Colin years. But we are about to be accused of murdering Colin.
I come back.
Ashley, you're not going to speak to the police, are you?
Don't listen to him, love.
Well, look. The thing is, I didn't give them my name. I didn't give them my address.
That's my boy.
Look.
All right.
Ma, I don't mean to be a bad guy here, but I don't know the guy. And, well, I definitely have blood on my jeans.
Okay, whether you did anything or not, Ashley, we're not accusing you. I know. But right now we want to stop the possibility of the police accusing you of doing anything. All right.
I just don't want to draw attention from the police. You know how those guys
Ashley agrees with
feel about
this,
me?
This is ridiculous.
You know all that stuff that I did when I was 17?
Well, that doesn't mean that you've done any murder, love.
They don't know that I've changed. I've changed. But I don't want to be here anymore. In fact, can we not be standing by the body? Great. Let's go over here.
Yes, right. Let's go. Let's go.
I ain't leaving it.
No, but Ruth is right. Colin is our friend. Colin is a human being. We'll wait until we see signs of the police and then we'll run.
Ma, look, they're not going to think that you did anything. Like, you're a part of the museum service. Like, you know the guy and you're obviously...
No, they entirely are going to think that your mother did
something.
They're
not going to think that she did anything. You can stay here.
This is ridiculous. I ain't leaving. You two can leave if you want to, but I won't think very good of you, Ashley.
Can I have the keys?
You're really going to go home?
All right, we're not leaving without Ruth.
Ma can handle herself.
Well, I ain't going anywhere.
Mark, I mean, you don't have to stay here.
I might not have to, but I'm gonna.
Ma.
It's a decent thing to do.
Ma, think about it. We haven't had dinner yet. You're probably hungry. You know, I'm pretty hungry.
You think that after this, I'm just going to leave a body here of Gar Colin? I'm going to go home and I'm going to cook dinner?
Well,
is that what you think's going to happen, Ashley?
No.
Admittedly, that is
strange. You're going to have to eat something.
Well, that might be, but that doesn't mean I'm going to leave Colin here.
Sebastian,
mm-hmm.
As you kind of focus in on these three silhouettes, you start to key into what they are talking about. So consider sort of the past minute of conversation stuff you know.
And there is a small click and a flash of a camera.
Oh, no.
Oh! As the big chunky Nikon F5 slowly descends from his face.
I run straight up to this man.
Sebastian, Owen charges you.
Mr. Crisp,
Ruth is less quick on her heels than you guys, but she's also heading over. Her hands have been on her hips for the last like 20 minutes.
Oh, hello, Mr. Crisp. I didn't expect to see my landlord today.
I grab you by the lens of the camera.
To be careful with that. It's new.
It's new and it's delicate, isn't it? It's extremely delicate. You just took a very important photograph, didn't you?
Yes.
And you're not going to take any more photographs, are you?
I mean, I am.
How did you get here so quickly? Why are you here right now? Did somebody let you in?
Oh, I saw sirens coming on the way in.
There are sirens coming. We need to leave. You're not talking to the police, right? I grab him by the arm and I start running. And as I go past Ruth, I also grab Ruth by the arm.
You unhand me right now, Owen Crisp.
Yeah, like Seb's like feet like just go rigid and like, you know, skid across the ground, the stonework. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Mr. Crisp, Mr. Landlord. I do have my job to do, which is to take photos for the Cape Brick Chronicler, as you well know.
You will not be doing that. Photos. Disrespectful, that is. I don't care what tatty tabloid you're working but Colin's not going to be plastered all over it.
Wait, are you the media? Scum.
I'm freelance. It's and I just holds up his press pass very full on the like. It's you know, it's a living. Please let go. Careful, Mr. Crisp with the camera. I should have asked. I just couldn't really see, so I wanted to get a good look. I suppose I should have brought a flashlight.
I let go of the camera.
It's okay. We always go through the photos. We always get permission first, of course. Is everybody all right?
You realize that you have taken a photo of me at a murder.
Oh God! And I just looked down at the body.
And me. It's finally, and my mom.
Yeah. Now Seb looks down because you can finally see the body because it's not being dragged about. It's like.
Well, I don't care about that, dear. I care more about poor Colin. It shouldn't be plastered all over the news, like in whatever tatty rag it is that Sebastian works
And
for.
You will care for Colin for 20 years in jail before you die, Ruth. We need to do something.
I'm not going to jail, love. I ain't done nothing.
You all hear the sounds of sirens appearing in the car park, quickly followed by the opening and closing of a fair few car doors.
Oh, please leave. Please leave right
okay, if
now.
If you want to go, Mr. Chris, I can't stop you, but I do have to stay. It's part of my job. So please let me go. And I have to take a bunch of pictures of the body. I'll try and...
You are not taking any... No, you're not, love.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna get up into Sebastian's face.
I'm sorry, Miss... Taylor, but it's my job.
You will have a bit of respect, young man.
And he's trying to, like, hold the camera above his head, but it's not going to do it. It's all shaky photos now, but it's...
No, I'm taking it if you're trying to take more photos.
It's part of my job. Miss Payne will be so disappointed.
I couldn't care less, dear. There's a man dead here. You have a bit of respect.
All right, well, let's step back at least. It's not safe here. If I don't know what caused that, but... Might still be around.
Well,
can we leave?
I mean,
before we get arrested,
it was an attacker of some kind. None of us have a knife. It'll be fine.
It's not fine.
Okay. Fine. I won't take any more photos, but I'm just gonna check that. Make sure you guys are all safe, okay? And Seb just like really quickly does the big like loop around the nearby area, just to, like see if there's anybody around the corners, any trail.
Inside the village or outside?
Oh no! In the same room we're in, just like the connecting corridors. Oh,
okay, so yeah, so you're out in like the center of the village, like you're outside. Do you want to give me a investigative mystery roll then?
Yes, I shall. As I do 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 do.
I'm freaking.
sure. Yes. Aha! That is a wonderful 4. So that's a miss for Sebastian Long on investigating a mystery.
Congrats. You get some sweet, sweet experience.
Thanks.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, you do a loop. And as you sort of loop around... you start like crunching over gravel and such, and it becomes painfully obvious to sort of Ruth, Owen, and Ashley that you're making quite a bit of noise as you go. And all four of you hear like sort of boots on the ground coming closer to the village.
Please, Ruth, please leave with me right now.
I ain't leaving, love. You can leave if you want to, and I'll think less of you for it.
What if I take your son?
He's his own man, he can make his own decisions, and I repeat that I will think less of him for it if he leaves right now.
Oh, I hate that you're your own person.
Yeah, all right, I'll stay, Ma. I'll stay.
Good lad. And she looks at Owen, sort of, with a slightly raised eyebrow and an expectant look.
I am literally wringing my hands. I have no idea what to do.
I do warn Seb, though. They're gonna take your camera, mate.
Oh,
They'll take it as evidence.
Oh, that's fine. I was going to develop the photos anyway as part of my duty to the local constabulary.
Sure, love. Sure you were.
But I don't think I've found anything, though. Gosh, you'd expect that to be normal blood.
As you all kind of look around, those boots on the ground kind of, there's a stop and you all turn and you look at the entrance of the village and you see a fair few police officers looking in at you, sort of flashlights out. They all, like, all of your faces suddenly, like, bathed in light as you kind of squint.
Oh, thank goodness, officers. Something dreadful's happened here. It's Colin.
A large, heavy-set man sort of walks through backlit and he says, "All right, then. Hands where I can see him."
Oh, I knew it.